We begin the current and final daf, Masechta Sanhedrin, daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Begin 6 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining the previous Mishnah. Where the Mishnah had said, regarding items in the Eir Nidachas, if there are Kisvei HaKadosh, if there are holy writings, so the Tana of a Mishnah said, Yiganzu, they have to be buried, they have to be hidden away. Where, since it's one of the items of the city, so the element would be to burn it. However, since it's a holy writing, we can't burn it. At the same time, we can't use it because it's disgusting from that city, so it's buried. Says the Gemara, Masnitin de Leker Belaza. Our Mishnah is not like Belaza. Because Tanya Lin, the Brayser Belaza, I mean, he says, Kol ir sheishba afila mezuzah achas. Any city that has even one mezuzah scroll, where is one of the holy writings, eina nasas er nidachas. It doesn't even become the subverted city to have the punishment. Where the Tanya of a Mishnah said, even if it's a holy writing, which includes mezuzahs, it's Eir Nidachas, it just gets buried. Belaza says it does not become Eir Nidachas. How do we know this? Because the Pasuk says in Devarim, Besarafta be'esh as the ir b'skol shalol l'kol. You have to burn the city in fire and all its booty totally burnt up. Now, but the hechadik mezuzah le'efsha. If you have to burn everything in the city, which includes the mezuzah, the doorpost that the mezuzah is on, that's not possible. Because the chesiv, the Pasuk says in Devarim, says over there that v'yibadetem eshamam and the makam ahu. You have to destroy the names of the idols that you're coming into in Eretz Canaan, and you have to get rid of them. Now, it says near that lo yisasin kein l'shem l'keichem, but for Hashem, your God, you're not allowed to do that. Meaning, one's not allowed to erase and destroy the name of God. Now, in the mezuzah, there are the names of Hashem mentioned over there, so you cannot burn it, because the pasuk says lo yisasin kein, you can't do that. Now, but we need to have that whatever shlala, whatever is the booty, including mezuzahs in the city, has to be burnt. And this is not shlal shemayim to say that, oh, okay, that's why you could have Eir Nidachas, like we had by Karbanas, like by Kadshim, but the shlala is not included. This is shlala, this is part of the booty of the city, and therefore the halacha would require burning, which is not possible because it's a mezuzah, and therefore it says, Jabalaza, it cannot become Eir Nidachas, because you cannot take the shlal, which includes the mezuzah, and burn it, which is not like our Mishnah, which said you do make it in Eir Nidachas, you just bury the holy writings, including the mezuzahs. Now the Mishnah continued, and Reb Shimon Leim, he says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, whoever does a judgment in the Eir Nidachas, Hashem considers it like a carbon, that's oil kol, that's totally brought as a carbon. Now, b'chul, etc. Where the Mishnah continues with the Machlekes, Reb Yisak Luli and Reb Akiva, regarding what is the prohibition of rebuilding Eir Nidachas. Is it only rebuilding it as a city, or even making gardens and orchards out of it? Says the Gemara, Lema b'Reb Avin Amar B'lo Kamevlogi. Let's say that their Machlekes is contingent on the following teaching of Reb Avin Amar B'lo. Because Amr Bav and Amr Law, he said, Kol Malkim Shatta Maitse, wherever you find that Klal Ba'aseh, when you have a certain topic in Halacha in the Torah, that it mentions a general concept regarding that mitzvah in a positive commandment. Uprat, and it mentions it in a specific regarding Balaisaseh in a negative prohibition. For example, this Halacha. This two psukkim that our Mishnah mentions both from Yisak Luli and Rabbi Kiva. Says in the Torah, regarding the Eir Nidachas, the subverted city, V'haisa tel oilam. It should be forever a pile of rubble, which is a general statement, where it sounds like it's including even gardens or orchards, that you're not allowed to make anything out of it. It has to remain as a pile of rubble, which is a positive commandment. Then it says, Leisivna oid, you cannot rebuild it anymore. Now, rebuilding binyan refers to building houses. That's a negative prohibition, what not to do. Says Rabbav Namri Beloi, whenever you have the klal, a general statement in the positive, and the prat in the loisase, that ain't done loisa b'chal prat. Then you do not learn it in the context of a klal prat. One of the Yud Gomel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behen of the Brayser Rabbi Shmuel is you have a klal uprat. Generally, you'll say ain b'chal elamashe b'prat. You'll say generally that the only thing included in the general category is what's specified in that prat that specifies, where it's explaining the klal, but it's limited to what the prat says, where in this context it would mean that the leisa, say, the negative prohibition, is the explanation of that positive, the general positive commandment. In other words, in this context it would mean, when it says, v'haisa tel oilam, it should be an everlasting pile of rubble, which is a positive commandment, that's a general encompassing statement, the prat of the Leisaseh says Leisivna Oid would be explaining what is that mean that it should be a pile of rubble in regards to building. But regarding gardens and orchards, that would be permitted. And that's what Rabbi Avin the Meloi says, that no, if let's say they're both a lois essay, a klal and a prat, then the prat explains the klal. Or if they're both essays. But if the klal is an essay and the prat is a lois essay, then we don't say the prat is explaining the klal. Then they're two different halachas. We don't say it's explaining the klal. Rather, the way it's learned is, when it says v'hoisa tel oilim, it should be an everlasting pile of rubble, that is even that it cannot be rebuilt even for gardens and orchards. Now, moreover, when it says that leisiv na'id, so that's talking about regarding a negative prohibition, but it's not explaining. Rather, so what is it saying? We expound it in a different midrash ha'tor nidrash b'hen. One of the other mediums of explaining it is what's called a davar shehoyeh b'chlal, something that was in the general category, the yatzim in the klal, and it was mentioned separately from the general statement. Why is it saying it? We already said that tel oilam, which is a klal, includes everything. So of course, not leaving it as a pile of rubble would include building. Why is it say lo yisiv na'id? It's lalam, and it comes to teach. Now the klal tells this midah teaches you loy lalamet al atzma yotz. It's not coming to teach just for itself. Ela lalamet al klal kuli yotz. Or rather, the reason why it was mentioned separately was to teach you regarding the entire category, and to tell you that yeah, not to rebuild houses was included in rubble, which says that even gardens you can't make. So why was it specifically mentioned by itself? Is to compare it that just like building is distinct, which is a settlement of people, so too all buildings are forbidden, like gardens and orchards are also problematic because they're ultimately for human purposes. That's what it's coming to tell you for the even for the general category too. Now that's what how it would come out according to Rav and Omer Biloy. So explains the Gemara, the Ma'ar, Yisak clearly who holds that in this context, you're not going to be danad b'chlal u'frat, because isli d'rabavin. He holds like Rabavin, who expounds the psukim as follows. When it says v'hoisa tel oilam, that it should be a pile of rubble, that's for everything. You're not allowed to do anything with this city that was subverted. Now when it says v'hoisiv na'id, which sounds like there's a prohibition of building houses, that's coming to teach you that there's a negative prohibition by building houses, and so too there's a prohibition by gardens and orchards, which is Isra Asay, but moreover, we're teaching you that there's a Lois Asay because this, that it was Yetzi, is Lulamid ala Klal Kuli Yatzi, to say that this negative prohibition applies to all things, not just to building houses, but also regarding orchards. Now, Umar, whereas Rabbi Kivu holds that you would be Dan Bechlal Ubeprat, because that's what we said, that Im Bechlal, that the gender category that's here of to leave it a pile of rubble is elamasha beprat. It's only what's in the specific, like Rabbi Kiva says in the Mishnah. The prohibition is only leisiv na'id, as he quotes that passage in the Mishnah, of only rebuilding houses. He holds gardens and orchards are permitted because less leisiv rebavin, because Rabbi Kiva does not hold like rebavin, and he says that even when the klal is an essay and the prat is a lois essay, you would still learn ein bechlal elamasha beprat, and that's where the prohibition is only by building and not in gardens and orchards. Says the Gemara, no. The Kulama Isl Rebavim, we don't have to say that their machlekes is in this halacha. Rather, everyone agrees to the halacha of Rebavim, even Rebbe Kiva. Now, but this that he said that you could make the Erni Dachas into gardens and to orchards, it's not because in general he does not hold like Rebavim as we assumed in the first interpretation, that because he would hold that, yeah, the Lois Essay is explaining the Klal even though it's an essay, and that Tel Oilam would be explained what should be it remain as a pile of rubble is only regarding building houses. No. It's just because the words of the Torah, as he quotes this pasuk in the Mishnah Bekiva, of Leisiv Na'id, sounds to him that it's only regarding building houses. Because V'hacha, B'hacha, Mivaki, what they're disagreeing about is as follows. Mar Savar B'yisei Glili held that Oid, when it says Leisiv Na'id, Legami Mashmi. That sounds like totally, like the word, for example, La'ilam Va'ed. The word Va'ed is like Va'ed, that nothing ever should be built evermore on this destroyed city, not for building houses, and not for gardens and orchards, because, as we said, that the Tel Oilam would be including everything, including Ginnis and Pardesim. It should not be built ever again. But in Mar Savar, however, Mar Savar Oid, Rabbi Kiva held that, what does it mean the word Oid? Is Lekamasha Haisa, and the Mefarshim explain, and although this next words in our Gemaras have the two dots, which is a quote from the Mishnah of the words of Rabbi Kiva, but it should be read contiguous, that Rabbi Kiva holds that the word Oid means Lekamasha Haisa Einin Nimnes. It cannot anymore, Oid would mean anymore, it cannot be anymore like it was originally built, which was a city. avonasas yiginus upardesim, but it could be made into, and that's the deek that the words of the pasuk are explicitly telling you, according to Bekiva, but it could be made into gardens and orchards, because it's only telling you you cannot go ahead and rebuild it again as it was. But that's what leisim no'id means. But it could be made into gardens and orchards, and therefore it could be yotik above number of law usually. But in this context, the pasuk explicitly telling you that it's only a problem for binyan, and like it was, and not for gardens and orchards, which it never was, that you could go ahead, according to Bekiva, and make out of the Eir HaNidachas. Tanabam Linda Brysa continuing these halachas of Eir HaNidachas, Hayiba Ilonis, if there were trees in the subverted city, so Tolushan Asurin, so if they were detached, they're forbidden, and they have to be burnt, Mechubarim Mutarn, but if they were still attached to the ground, then they're permitted because the Torah tells you, Tikbaits Visarafti, if they gather all the booty from the city and burn it, which tells you only something that's missing, gathering and burning. But an attached tree is missing one more. It has to first be detached, then gathered, and then burnt, and therefore that's not included in the booty that has to be burnt. Now, however, Shetlir Acheres, there is trees from a different city, that Bein Tlushin, Bein Mechubar Nasa, that whether they were detached or even attached, were forbidden. So the Gemara Ma'ir Acheres, what's this other city? Rav Chizdi says Yericha. It refers to Jericho, to Yericha, the Chilek, it says the Pasuk in Yeshua, says Va'isa Ir Cherem, that the entire city is Cherem, that's forbidden. He, like the Pasuk says, over the Hiv, Chol HaShabbat, it and whatever is inside of it, Lashem is to Hashem, which is coming to tell you that everything, even the attached trees in that city, were forbidden. Now, continuing on that related discussion about Yerichai, and that they made into a cherem, was forbidden to take anything, and everything in that city was forbidden when they conquered Yerichai. So, the Pasuk tells us that V'yishba Yehoshua be'esa hilemer, Yeshua swore at that time saying, Aru ha'ish lefnei Hashem, cursed is the man in front of Hashem, asher yakum uvones se'ir hazeis es Yerichai, that will get up and rebuild this city of Yerichai. And if someone will ever attempt to rebuild this city that was totally destroyed, he will inaugurate it, he will start the foundation with his firstborn. And when he finally puts up the final door, his youngest son will pass away. There's two prohibitions with rebuilding Yerichai. A person's not allowed to rebuild Yerichai even if he's going to give it a different name. Neither could he even rebuild a different city and call it Yerichai. Even that's forbidden. Meaning, because even the name Yerichai has to be totally obliterated. So you can't rebuild Yerichai with a different name or a different city with the name Yerichai. So simply like it says, the Pasuk Melachim Aleph says that in the days of Achav, Bana Chiel Beis Ho'eli. Chiel built Beis Ho'eli, which refers to because he violated the Allah, the curse, the oath. So it calls Yerichai Beis Ho'eli. That he went and built this Beis Ha'eli as Yerichai, the Yerichai. Now, it's not that he actually rebuilt Yerichai. He actually built a different city, but he called it Yerichai, and which does not explain how where we see that, but that's what he had done. He had actually built a different city, but he called it Yerichai. And Ba'avirim Bechari Yastai, he started off the foundation with the death of his firstborn Aviram. U'beskuv Tzirai hits of Dolasah, and with his youngest son Skuv, is when he established the final doors on the city. With his firstborn Aviram, who was wicked, he should not have necessarily learned. Meaning, when his firstborn Aviram passed away, Chiel should not have necessarily learned his lesson that he shouldn't build Yericha. But with the death of his youngest son Skuv, he should have learned. Now the Gemara asks, Aviram was Skuv my Ovid. What did Aviram and Skuv do that the Brice is calling them wicked? So the Gemara explains, no, hachik, I mean, that's what the Brice is saying. Ba'avirim b'chayrei, with the death of his firstborn Avirim, ha'ilei l'maid la'isa rasha b'skuv tzirei, so that wicked person referring to Chiel, who had built that city, should have learned that the same thing is going to happen to the final death of his youngest son, as the curse of Yeshua was, that that's what's going to happen, whoever builds a town, even with the name of Yericha. Now, parenthetically, the Brice asked to expound, from the fact that it refers to the two sons that it mentions that died by him, it says that Avim was his firstborn. So any idea of Skub Tzira, so don't I know that Skub is the younger son? What does it teach us when it says Skub the younger one? Melamed, it comes to teach you that it wasn't just the two of them. Chiel was continuously burying Me'avirim at Skub, from Aviram up until the youngest of all of them, till Skub. So it wasn't that. Of course we know he was younger than Aviram, but it means the youngest. From all the sons, he buried all his children until he finally finished up the city, and his youngest child passed away. Now the Gemara tells us that Achav, Shushbina Hava, He was a friend of this Chiel who had built this town with the name of Yericho. So Asaihu ve'Eliyahu le'mishal b'shlama beitami. So him, King Achav, and Eliyahu Navi came to inquire by him by the Beit Tamia, either the Girsa's Beit Tamia with an ayin, Beit Tama, which is the house of mourning where they try to give him a taste with words to console him, or as we find many places, actually Tamia with an ayin, which is the terminology of mourning, which means bones, regarding someone who passed away. So Yosef Akamah, they were sitting, Achav was sitting and saying to his friend who was mourning, Dilma kimelet Yeshua, maybe when Yeshua made the curse, Hochilat, this is what he cursed. Two things, as we said before. Lo Yericha Hashem Yeracheres, you cannot rebuild Yericha even with a different name. V'lo Yeracheres Hashem Yericha, and neither can you build a different city if you called Yericha and you called this city Yericha. So Amaleyol, Yo said to him, in, yes. That's exactly what happened. That's why he lost all his sons. So Amalei, so Achav said to Yo, Hashta love tossed to the Moshe Lo Kamakaima. What do you mean? If even the curse of Yeshua's Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu, his curses were not fulfilled, because the Chassid of the Pasuk says in Devarim, Besartem, Mavadetem, Magrem, if you're going to stray and you're going to do Avodah Zarah. Or Chassid of it says, what's the punishment? V'chara af Hashem Bechem, and the anger of Hashem will be flared up against you. V'atas Hashemayim, Magrem, he'll hold back the heavens and no rain will come. Yet says Achav, Vahu Gavah, but that person, meaning referring to himself, Achav, who was a wicked king, Oikim le'avoydes kechav ma'kol telem betelem. He went and he put up avoydes zaras on every row and irrigation plant, meaning at every elevated place in Eretz Yisrael. V'lo shavak le'mitra le'mezel miskidle. And there was so much rain, that so the roads are so muddy and dirty, that it doesn't even allow us to go down, bow down to the old Avodah Zarah that I put up in there. It's a struggle because the roads are so full of mud that we can't even get there. So you see, Moshe Rabbeinu's curse was not fulfilled because he said that if you do Avodah Zarah, there's not going to be rain. And he's saying there's so much rain, I can't even get to my Avodah Zarah that I have all over Eretz Yisrael. Laftas the Yeshua Tamid Mekayma. So you think the curse of Yeshua, his student, was fulfilled? You think that's why he lost his sons? So the tells us that Miyad immediately, as the Pasuk says, V'yom Eliyahu ha-Tishbi b'Tishbi Gilad. So Eliyahu, the Tishbi from the settlers of Gilad, spoke up and he said, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael, this a term of oath, by the life of the living God, the God of the Jewish people. In Miyad Talamat of Agarim, if there's going to be any dew or any rain, where he was saying that yes, there will be a punishment for all the Avodah Zarah that you put up, there's not going to be any rain. Because this pasuk is near that pasuk that says that Chiel built the Beis Ha'eli, which, as the Gemara is telling us, that was a consequence of that whole episode, where because he built that town called Yericho, his children died, and Eliyahu Hanavi and Achav came to be Menachemim. That was this incident followed right after, where Achav tried saying that it can't be, that's why I lost the children. And Eliyahu Hanavi said yes, and you'll see that Moshe Rabbeinu's curse will also be fulfilled, and there won't be any rain. So tell us that Boi Rachmi, so Eliyahu Navi beseeched mercy from Hashem. V'havolei aklida demitra, he was given the keys to the rain. V'kam v'azal, and he got up and he left, and there was no more rain. Now the pasuk tells v'hi divar Hashem eilav lema, that the word of God was to Eliyahu saying, Leich mizeh, go from here. Ufanis l'cha kedma, go towards the east. V'nistarta b'nachal Kris, and you'll go ahead and you'll conceal yourself by the stream of Kris. Now it tells us v'ovim mevim le'lechem abasa b'abayke b'goyme, that the ravens brought for him bread and meat in the morning, etc. So the Gemara says, Mehecha, where did the ravens bring him this food from? Rabbi Yehuda Marav, maybe Tavchid Achav, from the butchers of Achav, the ravens took the meat and brought it to Eliyahu Navi. Now the pasuk tells of Himiketz Yam, that was the end of days, the Yivashanachal, and the stream dried up. Ki lohayu geshem ba'aretz, because there was no rain in the land. So says the Braisa, Kivin the Chaza, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the Ikat Tzar Ba'alma, that there's a lot of pain in the world, that Eliyahu Nabi had taken away the rain because Hashem gave him the key. So Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'hi Devar Hashem Elav Lema, that the word of God was to Eliyahu, saying, Kum Lech Tzarfasa, go to Tzarfas. And the reason why Hashem wanted him to go there was ultimately to devolve the situation that he's going to get the key of rain back from Eliyahu Nabi, as the Gemara explains. Because Ksiv, it says, V'hi Achad Var Me'ela, was after these words, Chala ben Isha Baal Tzabayis, Eliyahu Hanavi went to Tzarfas and he stayed by this woman who was hosting him, and the son of that woman passed away, who was his hostess. So Baya v'yachme lemeitin le'aklidet t'chiyas ha'mesim, so he beseeched mercy from Hashem, that Hashem should give him the keys of the resuscitation of the dead, so he could revive this son of his hostess who died, that he could bring him back to life. So Amri Le, they said to Eliyahu, now because regarding the storehouses of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, there's these keys. Hashem gives these keys to trustworthy agents. But shalish mafteches, but three keys HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in his hand, that lo nimsu l'shlich, that are not given over to any agents. Hashem from the creation of the world didn't give it over to any shlich, rather it's in his own hand, and he doesn't want to give it to the authority of any mediums. And they are shalchaya, of childbirth, shal gusham, of rain, shal tchias ha-mesim, and of the revival of the dead. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Eliyahu Navi, these three keys I held by me from the creation of the world, and I didn't appoint any shliach besides you, that I appointed you over one of them, I gave you the key of rain. Now you're asking for me a second key. So Yemer, people are going to say, shtayim b'yad talmud v'achas b'yad harav. Two keys of the three are in the hands of the student, meaning you, and only one is in the hand of the teacher. Not appropriate. I see ha v'shakal hai. Bring me the key of the rain, and I'll give you the key of tchias l'mesim. Except like it says in the pasuk that this is what happened, that Hashem said to Eliyahu, lechi royal, Achav, go and appear before Achav, ve'etna matar, and I will bring the rain. It doesn't say, v'sei matar, and then you give the rain, because Eliyahu had to give him back the key, to give Hashem back the key of rain to get the key of tchias l'mesim. So Dar Shahuk Lilo Kamed Rav Chizda, a certain person from the Galilee who expounded in front of Rav Chizda, and he said, Moshe d'Eliyahu l'mah d'vedema, what could this incident with Eliyahu be compared to? L'gavra d'tarki l'gali, to a person that closed his gate, v'avdil mafteche, and then he lost his key. So to Eliyahu, he closed the gates of rain, and at the end he lost the key of rain, and he couldn't even open up the gates for rain, because he had given back to Hashem, it was Hashem who had to open up those gates. Now, Darsh Rabbi Yisi b'Tzipari, so regarding this incident, Rabbi Yisi had expounded in Tzipari that Abba Eliyahu, Father Eliyahu, which is a term of endearment and of greatness, that how he was referring to Eliyahu Navi, as we continue to Midbeis, he said, Captain, he was someone that gets angry quickly. He got angry at Achav, and he took affront, and he said, swear by the living God, if these years is going to be any rain, he took extreme dramatic action. Eliyahu Navi, his midah was kaptanus. Now, the Gemara tells, Havarag lemesi gabe, Eliyahu Navi would frequent Reb Yesi. But ichse minei tlasa yamim v'lo'asa, for 3 days he concealed himself and didn't come to Reb Yesi. Ki asa, when Eliyahu Navi came, Amalei Reb Yesi said to him, Amai lo'asa mar, why didn't the master come? So Amalei, Eliyahu said to Reb Yesi, Captain Karasli, you called me a captain. What type of a title is that? You call me someone that gets angry quickly? So Amalei, Reb Yisi said to him, "How did come on the kokabed mahar? What do you mean? For this thing that I said regarding you, that you're a captain, you see that for that you didn't come 3 days because of your anger that you got upset. You took an affront because of what I said. That itself proves my point that you are a captain." Now the Mishnah said, "V'liyidbak biyadcha mu'uma menachem." The pasuk says regarding the Erni Dachas that it cannot be connected to, attached to your hand, anything from that whole thing that's forbidden of the Erni Dachas. No one's allowed to take anything from that city. As the Mishnah explained, calls man sharishum ba'olam, as long as there's wicked people in the world, charoi naf ba'olam achulu, there's anger, a fury in the world. Now the Gemara explains, man rishayim, what does the Mishnah mean when it says wicked people, that then there's anger in the world? It doesn't mean the wicked people up there in the dachas. Because as the Mishnah is coming to explain, it's talking about the prohibition of the people taking from Eir Nedachas. Rav Yisrael says ganavi. It refers to thieves. People who take from what they're not allowed to, which refers to people who take from the Eir Nedachas, which is forbidden. It's those people that are considered wicked, and they bring charin af ba'olam. And just like Achin, who was ma'al, and brought anger to the world, so too, it's proving the point that no one's allowed to take from the Eir Nedachas, because if they do, they're the wicked people who bring anger to the world. As the Besechta concludes, Tarabon in the Braisa, Rasha Bala Olam, when the wicked person comes to the world, Charoin Bala Olam, so anger comes to the world. Shemaka says the Pasuk in Mishlei, Bevoi Rasha Boi Gamvuz. When the wicked person comes, so too comes disgrace, comes scorning, Vim Kolon, and with shame, Ischarpa is disgrace. Now, Rasha Ovin Min Olam, when the wicked person is destroyed from the world, then Taiva Bala, and then good comes to the world. Shemaka says the Pasuk in Mishlei, Uvavoid Rasha Amrina, and when there's the destruction of the wicked, then there's song. Now, Tzadik Niftim Na'ilam, when a righteous person has passed away from this world, Rabba La'ilam, then bad comes to the world. Shemaka says the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Had Tzadik Ovin, the righteous is lost. The Ein Ish Sam Alev, and no man even puts his heart to realize that. And men of kindness are gathered in, meaning they pass away without people even understanding. It's because of the evil that the righteous is gathered in, and that before the evil comes, Hashem gathers in the righteous. Now, the inference is obviously that because when he dies, that's when the evil is going to come. But, concludes the concludes the Braisa, Tzadik Bala Olam, when a righteous person comes to the world, Taiva Bala Olam, then good comes to the world, because that's when the bad stops. Shlomo says the Pasuk in Bereishis that regarding when Noach was born, they said, Zeye Nachamenu Mimashenu Umitzvin Yadenu, that this one's going to console us from our actions and from the depression of our hands, which is, since a righteous person like Noach was born, that's going to take away the evil, and then the good comes to the world. Hanuloch Kol Yisol Yeshlum Chayuk, that we shall return to the 11th and final parak in Masechta Sanhedrin parak, that Yeshlam Chelik, that every person has a portion of the world to come. V'slikla Masechta Sanhedrin, and we've concluded Masechta Sanhedrin.